Ah, pregnancy. A time of such joy for some, such admiration for your body and excitement for what parenting will bring. But also for some, crippling anxiety, weird aches, pains and cravings, and the prospect that you actually have to give birth to this baby at some point. Pregnancy can be a really strange period of your life and can feel so different for so many people. Season 2 of Bun in the Oven is here to help you navigate this bonkers time alongside me, Holly Grant, whilst I also navigate this bonkers time during my current second pregnancy. In this season of the podcast, I'm joined by experts in all areas of maternal and perinatal health in real time throughout this pregnancy to cover topics that mean you don't have to spend hours on Google down a rabbit hole with no real evidence-based answer at the end of it all. I've worked with thousands of women over the last 11 years, and specifically since launching the Bump Plan in 2020. I have heard everything and admitted everything, so don't worry, we cover the embarrassing, gross stuff that you're not sure you want to ask your best friend. See, this is the information you wish you knew before you even knew you needed it. I can't wait for you to join me on this journey as we work out what on earth we're doing together. Enjoy season 2. In today's episode of Bun in the Oven, your guest is me, and I'm going to be talking you through everything you need to know about staying active in your second trimester. By this stage of your pregnancy, you will have a growing bump that needs navigating, your pelvic floor is under more strain from a growing uterus, and there needs to be some new considerations around how you train your core. Knowledge is power though, and I'll talk you through all of this in this episode. Right now, I am in my second trimester at 18 weeks pregnant. And during this pregnancy, I'm working really hard to stay strong and fit because I really want a smooth postnatal recovery this time around. But that doesn't mean keeping active is always easy. From a physical activity standpoint, I'm combining Pilates, low impact cardio, walking the dog and running around after a toddler. And so far, I've no back pain this pregnancy and I'm feeling really good. For many pregnant people though, it can be really confusing as to what you can and can't do during pregnancy from an exercise or physical activity point of view. Some choose to completely cease physical activity for fear it's harmful, whilst others continue as they did before. It can really vary so much, but what's really important is that we are staying active. In this episode, I break down what the current Chief Medical Officer's guidelines for physical activity during pregnancy are and what to consider when moving your body in your second trimester. I discuss pelvic girdle pain, prolapse and diastasis, and give you some actionable activities to include in your training. So why am I talking about this? Over the course of my career, I've trained thousands of women around the world through my online fitness program, The Bump Plan, and in my studios. I've heard a million questions and concerns around exercising during pregnancy. I've stayed active through my two pregnancies and have many pre and postnatal fitness qualifications under my belt. I've been around the block, you might say, and have lots of advice to share with you. I hope you find this episode helpful and it supports you through an active pregnancy. And now, ahead of this episode, a few words from our sponsor. Given the theme of this podcast, I imagine that some of you are currently pregnant or planning a family. So many women I know just aren't sure how to move their body safely during this changing time, or they want to stay active but need someone to show them the way and hold their hand. That's where the Bump Plan Pregnancy comes in. The Bump Plan Pregnancy is a holistic prenatal fitness plan that allows you to work out with confidence at each trimester of your pregnancy. Founded by myself, Holly Grant, the Bump Plan Pregnancy has already helped over 25,000 pregnant women stay active safely and feel empowered throughout their pregnancies. Through its trimester-specific workouts, in which I'm always at the same stage of my pregnancy as you will be in yours, extensive education hub, discount hub, and growing Facebook community, you'll feel supported and part of a welcome community. Let me help you move safely through your pregnancy, maintain your fitness and strength, and enter parenthood strong and prepared for all the demands it poses. As a listener of Bun in the Oven, I'm offering you 20% per month off the cost of your monthly subscription to the Bump Plan, simply by entering the code BUN20 at checkout. To get started today, simply head to pilatespt.co.uk/the-bump-plan and enter the code BUN20 at checkout.
That's BUN20 in lowercase to get 20% off the monthly cost of the Bump Plan pregnancy. Join our community today and enter labour and motherhood strong, capable and prepared with the Bump Plan.
Okay, so in this episode, as I've mentioned, we're going to be talking all about the second trimester. And I want to start off by just mentioning that some of you may have already listened to the previous episode I recorded, all about how to stay active during your first trimester. And the guidelines are really similar throughout the whole of your pregnancy. So some of this will be repeated, but it's really important that we do recap and think about how it actually does apply to the second trimester now that we're in it. So bear with me if I'm repeating some of the stuff that you've already heard, but it's really helpful to hear it again. And I also want to talk about why we're separating this into trimesters. Now, as a fitness industry, we tend to lump pre and postnatal women all together. And it's something that I've never really agreed with. If you think about what someone who is 6 weeks pregnant needs, bearing in mind they're probably feeling all the hormonal symptoms, but not a huge amount of kind of physical change symptoms, and compare that to somebody who's, say, 36 weeks pregnant, who is maybe feeling less hormonal, but is definitely going to be feeling the logistical, physical changes that are going on. And then someone who might be 12 weeks postnatal. Those people have all completely different needs, different things are comfortable for them, and what we should be focusing on is going to be very different. So that's why I try to, wherever possible, separate pregnant people into either 4 week chunks or trimesters, so that we're really thinking about what does that person need right now. So that's why I have split this into these separate trimesters. So we're talking about the second trimester right now, and that takes us from week 12 to week 28. So it's actually quite a long amount of time. And by the end of your second trimester, your baby weighs up to about 1 kilogram, which is really, really heavy. So in that second trimester, there's a lot going on that maybe didn't happen in the first trimester. Okay, so we're going to be talking exclusively about the second trimester here, but the guidelines are very similar throughout the whole of your pregnancy. In fact, the Chief Medical Officer's guidelines for physical activity during pregnancy are not split into trimesters. They're the same throughout. And those guidelines are that if you are a healthy woman with an uncomplicated pregnancy, you are asked to take part in at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity to include 2 sessions of muscle building activity. So 150 minutes spread across a week. That can be 30 minutes each day. It doesn't have to be that you're going out for an hour long walk or an hour long run each time. It can be split down into smaller subsections. But essentially we're aiming for at least 150 minutes per week. Now, in that guideline, we've got the term physical activity. And sometimes that throws people because we're so used to hearing the word exercise or sport or fitness. Physical activity means any activity that essentially gets your body moving, that increases your heart rate, that increases your breath rate. And it's all encompassing. So it doesn't have to be a fitness class, like a Pilates class. It doesn't need to be sport necessarily, although those would count as physical activities. It's any activity. So we talked about this in the previous episode, in the previous podcast, where we talked about first trimester, but that might be cleaning the house if you love doing that. It might be sex, it might be walking the dog, it might be jogging, it might be swimming. It can be anything that gets your body moving. So when we think of physical activity, it's any activity that's getting the body moving, and we need about 150 minutes of it per week. So actually, when we think about the sorts of things we might be already doing during the week, they will contribute, and we might actually already be meeting those guidelines. Sadly, lots of us are not meeting those guidelines. Now, when we talk about moderate intensity, we're talking about the intensity of that activity that you're doing. So I like to think of a scale of 1 to 10. 1 would be no activity, sat watching the Great British Bake Off on TV, and 10 would be you during a marathon. Moderate intensity activity would sit around a 6 or a 7. So again, your heart rate would be lifted, you'd feel more out of breath, but you definitely would still be able to talk. So we can also use the talk test. If you can talk whilst you're doing an activity, you're pretty good there. That's going to be moderate intensity. If you can only say a few words without needing a break, you're probably moving towards high intensity. So throughout your pregnancy, you're aiming for around 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity. And so actually, when you think about your daily routine or your weekly routine, as I said, it might be that you're already getting that. Now, in amongst that, we're wanting two muscle strengthening activities. And muscle strengthening activities are things that are going to boost the strength of your musculoskeletal system. So things that are going to improve the strength of your muscles, the integrity of your joints, help with your ligaments and tendons, all the things that help make you strong and support your skeleton. Now that might be things like weight training, but it might be things like carrying heavy shopping, carrying a toddler. That's hard work. But ideally, we want to make sure that we're working all the muscles in the body, particularly the main global muscles. So that's why we would often think about at least not just doing carrying a toddler, thinking about maybe I'm going to do some bicep curls, maybe I'm going to do some bodyweight exercises. So we do want to make sure that we're working cardiovascularly, so things that make the heart work harder and improve the strength of our heart and our arteries and our veins, but also things that strengthen the body and help to build our muscle tone. So maybe you're already getting that in a week. Maybe actually you're really far off. Maybe you're getting the cardio, but you're not getting the strength work. Well, that's when we can start thinking about tweaking our activities. What do we need to include? What could we maybe swap out? So they are the guidelines. Now, I've mentioned that they apply to healthy individuals who are having an uncomplicated pregnancy. And by now, in your second trimester, you will probably know if you have an illness, a condition, a situation that means that you have a contraindication to exercise, because you'll have had your booking appointment with your midwife, you'll have had hopefully your first scan, and you will have had touch points with healthcare professionals who would tell you if you had a condition that potentially made your pregnancy high risk. Now, when we're talking about physical activity or exercise during pregnancy, there are things called contraindications. Now, contraindications are essentially, as I've mentioned, illnesses or conditions or situations that may mean that you don't necessarily fit into those general guidelines, that those UK Chief Medical Officer's guidelines would not necessarily apply to you. Now, contraindications split into absolute contraindications, and these tend to be quite extreme health conditions, chronic health conditions. You would probably already know before you got pregnant that you had some of them. And they tend to mean that these guidelines really do not apply to you, and that you would need to speak to your healthcare professional, and that actually, other than kind of activities of daily living, moving around the house, things like that, really would not benefit you compared to the risks of you doing those. And then there's relative contraindications. And relative contraindications tend to be less severe than absolute contraindications. And they tend to mean that you might need to work with your healthcare professional to find some sort of balance. Again, where there's a potential that the risks to you following those guidelines outweigh the benefits to you and your baby, but it might be that there's some sort of middle ground, some sort of compromise where you can do some things but not others. So when it comes to contraindications, if you have any contraindication, it does mean that you need to speak to your doctor before you just jump on those general guidelines. If you have an absolute contraindication, you're probably not going to be advised to do any kind of moderate to vigorous physical activity. If it's a relative contraindication, there might be some more flexibility because it's a less severe issue that you're dealing with, okay? So those are the types of people who it might not apply to. And I find that in your second trimester, you tend to know that. In your first trimester, before you see a healthcare professional, you just might not know. And that can sometimes make it a little bit tricky. Now, the next question that I often get asked is, what can I do? So if we're thinking about second trimester, what can I do? Gosh, there is so much that you can do. There's more that you can do than you can't do. And I'll talk about what you can't do in a minute. So what you can do, as I've mentioned, because we're thinking about physical activity here, you can do anything that you hopefully enjoy that gets your heart beating. So I listed a few earlier on, and it can be really kind of specific things like going swimming, going running, walking, jogging, cycling, although something to think about with cycling is we're going to touch on this in a minute, but we don't necessarily want to encourage anything that might increase your chance of bumping your bump. And there's a possibility that if you are road cycling, for example, you know, if you came off, there would be potentially some impact to your bump. But something like static cycling, so using a spin bike or using your bike up on supports, things like that, where you're very unlikely to fall off. Again, that's physical activity. It could be cleaning the house, it could be sex, it could be walking to the train station. It can be anything. So what can I do? Anything. And what I will say is that I'd really love it if it was something you enjoyed. So if you hate running, don't run. But if you like spinning, spin. As much as it would be lovely if we cross-trained as much as possible and we did a little bit of everything, also physical activity can be really enjoyable. So it's not worth, you know, running for half an hour and really wishing that half an hour away when you could be having sex for half an hour or you could be on your spin bike for half an hour. So try and do something that you enjoy. And again, as long as it fits within that moderate intensity range, then that's what's most important. Now remember that moderate intensity is going to look different for everybody. So for one person, what they need to do to get that heart rate up, to get to that 6 or 7, to get that moderate intensity, might be much more than somebody else needs. Maybe somebody is quite new to physical activity. So just remember that it's really about how that type of activity feels for you. If running is just too much for you, now you're in your second trimester, and it just pushes you so far that you cannot talk, then think about jogging or walking instead. Just because someone else is still managing to run and they're in their third trimester doesn't mean that you have to as well. So really think about how it feels for you. On that note, I also just want to touch on the fact that lots of women find in their first trimester, they just have no energy. And I really feel you on that one because I had the same thing. They maybe feel nauseous. They feel a tiredness you just cannot explain. Now, when they get into that second trimester, they start to come out of it. Now, not everybody will, but they might start to feel like the cloud is lifting and they have a bit more energy. Often, women will get in touch and say to me, I haven't done anything in my first trimester and I'm really worried. Should I be starting in my second trimester or should I just wait until I've had the baby? Well, a long time ago, we thought that you shouldn't start anything new during pregnancy, but we now know that's really outdated advice. What's important is that you start whenever. So if you have not exercised ever before and you've now got into your second trimester, or it's been a long time since you did any physical activity for whatever reason, just start gradually. Think about maybe doing workouts that are 20 minutes long and then slowly building up to 30 or 40 or whatever you want to use towards your 150 minutes. If you were active before, though, you can pretty much get straight back into it as you did before, with the exceptions that are coming up in a moment. So just to remember that we're all different. Moderate intensity will look different for all of us. We've all got different physical activity backgrounds. So it's just worth keeping in mind that you're an individual and what matters is how it feels for you. And if you need to start off small and build up, that's also completely okay. So we talked about what you can do. What can't you do? I don't love talking about these so much because we really want to be encouraging people to move their bodies. But there are some things that we still need to be considering, particularly in our second trimester now. We're starting to develop a bump that we really should talk about. So one, don't bump the bump. And I've talked about this very briefly. We don't want to do anything that is going to increase the chance of impact to your bump. So that might be something that feels quite obvious, like a contact sport, like rugby. Okay, I find that second trimester, it's a bit more obvious to people around you now. They don't bump into you as often, hopefully. But in a contact sport, there is going to be the potential that your bump gets bumped. So something like that is a kind of an obvious no-no. Or like I said, something where we're increasing the chance of you falling and bumping your bump. So that might be something like horse riding, or riding a bike on a road, something like that. And again, you know, it might be that you are a very proficient cyclist, you've never fallen off before, you know, then that's something that you need to take into account and consider. And if it really makes you happy, then, you know, that's a decision that you have to make, knowing the potential risks. But all I would say is that our center of gravity changes when we're pregnant. Cycling can also become a bit more awkward. And even if you are the best cyclist in the world, there are still other people around you that can increase your risk of falling. So just have a think about whether the activity that you're doing might risk you bumping your bump. Also, we need to think about not training at altitude. So no kind of very high mountain climbing, but also diving as well. That is out whilst you're pregnant. And also just something to think about is not getting too hot. So something like hot yoga, hot Pilates, probably unadvisable whilst you're pregnant. So again, that's just one of those things that we can't really do whilst we're pregnant. Now, if you think about it, that's not a huge amount. Obviously, lying on your front, it's not going to be comfortable in that second trimester onwards, or advisable, quite squashed, unless you're on kind of a donut pillow or a wedge of some sort. So lying on your front for things like Pilates or yoga, that's going to be out. And also lying flat on your back after about 16 weeks is not going to be something we would advise. When you're lying on your back for long periods of time, there's an increased risk of hypertensive syndrome, so a supine hypertensive syndrome. So it's where when you're lying on your back, your uterus has got to the point where it's quite heavy, it's quite big, and it starts to press down on some important veins and arteries that can make you feel quite poorly. So lying on your back for too long, not ideal. So what you would find from your second trimester onwards is if you're doing something like Pilates, maybe you are on an incline. So you might use a wedge, which is a specific cushion, looks a bit like a piece of cheese, that will help keep you on an incline, or you simply change positions. So you're not having to do an exercise lying on your back. Maybe you do it lying on your side or on hands and knees. So in that respect, there's not a huge amount that you can't do. What I would say is, as personally, as an instructor, I've taught Pilates for full-time for 11 years, and occasionally I would have somebody turn up to a group reformer Pilates class who hadn't kind of called ahead, who would turn up and say, "Oh, hi, so I'm 28 weeks pregnant. I hope that's okay. Can I join the class?" And as somebody who really wants pregnant women to stay active, it puts you in a really difficult position, because ideally we want women to continue as they did before, but there are going to be certain forms of exercise where a prenatal version would make more sense, would be more valuable. And sometimes if you go to a generic fitness class, let's say a generic reformer Pilates class, you might find that you spend most of the session being told you either can't do this exercise because it's lying on your back, lying on your front, or you might bump your bump, or the instructor's having to stop an awful lot to give you different options. So it's being mindful that yes, we want you to continue as normal as much as possible. So going out for a jog doesn't need to be any different, really. Going for a run, going for a swim. But if you're going to a specific fitness class and it's not prenatal specific, you might want to ring ahead first, or you might find that actually you get more value, more specific you know, exercises that actually are going to benefit you if you go to a prenatal version, okay? So just a side note from personal experience, it's always worth going to something that's prenatal specific or has an instructor that is prenatal qualified so that they do know the different positions that don't really work during pregnancy. So there we have what you can do, what you can't do, and the guidelines. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that in your second trimester, there are going to be some things that start happening to you that maybe haven't applied in the first trimester that might affect how you move your body. So the first thing I want to talk about is your pelvic floor. Now, during pregnancy, your pelvic floor, if we think about what the pelvic floor is first, actually, the pelvic floor is almost like a layer of muscles, almost like a hammock, that makes up the base of your pelvis. And if we think of the pelvis as almost being a bowl made out of bone, okay, and at the front we have the pubic bone where the two bones of the pelvis join at the front. And then around the back we have the sacrum, the very base of the spine that connects to the bones of the pelvis. And we have the sacroiliac joints at the back. So we've got a joint at the front, the pubic bone at the front there, it's not one big bone, it connects in the center through a joint, and then around the lower back, the sides, the bones of the pelvis join the base of your spine in your sacroiliac joints. So if we think of that bowl of the pelvis, it actually doesn't have a base to that bowl, a bony base, and your pelvic floor makes up that space. So what it does is it stops your internal pelvic organs falling out of your body, essentially, okay? It carries the weight of your pelvic organs, and it also controls the passage of urine, wind, feces, and it has a role in sexual function as well. So the pelvic floor, considering it is holding and supporting the weight of your pelvic organs, has a really big job during pregnancy because our uterus is one of our pelvic organs and it's only getting bigger and bigger. And as I mentioned, by the end of your second trimester, your baby alone can weigh up to 1 kilogram, which is kind of like a big bag of sugar. So that's a lot, and that's just your baby. That's not even taking into account your amniotic fluid or your other pelvic organs that your pelvic floor is trying to support. So as we get more pregnant, the pelvic floor has a bigger job. Meanwhile, there are lots of changes happening in the body due to our hormones that make our ligaments change, that make our joints a bit more lax. So the pelvic floor is doing a bigger job whilst also having quite a lot of changes occurring around it. So what some of us will find, and one study showed that around 60% of women during pregnancy will develop urinary stress incontinence. There's lots of other studies as well that say it could be more, could be less. We know that there's a fair amount of people that are going to struggle with urinary stress incontinence during pregnancy. And that is because of that huge demand that the pelvic floor is placed under as the uterus grows. Urinary stress incontinence is where any extra stress applied to the pelvic floor causes it to not be able to perform its job as well. So an example would be if I cough, if I sneeze, if I run to chase a bus, that extra pressure, that increase in pressure that my pelvic floor has to try to support is too much for my pelvic floor. And so maybe I leak a little bit of urine, or some people can also leak feces or struggle to hold in wind. So during pregnancy, it's more common, and I guess we can understand why. So during your second trimester, it's really important that you're staying on top of your pelvic floor exercises, or at least introducing them if you've never done that before. So pelvic floor exercises should combine holds, so where we're trying to squeeze the holes of the pelvic floor, so urethra, anus and vagina, and then lift those pelvic organs, and then hold for anywhere up to 8 to 10 seconds, although it may be much less, and pulses, so quick, fast, rapid pulses of the pelvic floor, and that should help to keep the tone of the pelvic floor whilst it's put under greater demand. Now, there are some people who actually, those exercises wouldn't benefit because they have a hypertonic pelvic floor. They have a pelvic floor that's actually just the opposite. It's very grippy. It's always on and it struggles to relax and lengthen. So if you're struggling with something like incontinence during pregnancy, it's really worth speaking to your GP and asking to be referred to a pelvic health physio who can then help you assess what is going on and what the best method of treatment would be, whether it is more pelvic floor exercises or maybe it's actually that you need to work on stretching and releasing and relaxing your pelvic floor. But essentially, in your second trimester, that is when you might start to notice some issues in that pelvic floor area. It's where I would definitely recommend that you're staying on top of your pelvic floor exercises. And it's not just Kegels or pelvic floor exercises that strengthen your pelvic floor. There are lots of other movements, lots of other exercises that also activate the pelvic floor. So another reason to generally stay active rather than spending lots of time sitting down during the day. So that's the pelvic floor. Next, we're going to talk about pelvic girdle pain. Now, we're talking about pelvic girdle pain because it can happen at any point in pregnancy, but some people might start to notice it as they move further through their pregnancy. So some people will start to develop it during their second trimester. It's thought that it affects 20 to 25% of pregnant women to the point where they need medical assistance or treatment, whether that's speaking to their GP or seeing a pelvic health physio. And pelvic girdle pain is essentially any pain, especially pregnancy-related pelvic girdle pain, any pain felt around the pelvis, whether that be the front near the pubic bone, whether that be near the back, near your sacroiliac joints, whether that's pain that then translates down the inner thigh or down the sides of your legs, any pain that affects the pelvis area that is related to pregnancy. So pregnancy-related pelvic girdle pain is pelvic pain around that pelvic girdle that occurs during pregnancy. Now, when somebody experiences pelvic girdle pain, often they will feel like doing nothing is going to help. So because it's pain related, often we feel like I need to rest, and if I rest, it might feel better. And whilst that might work for some people, pelvic girdle pain used to be thought of as a structural issue. So we used to think that people experience pelvic girdle pain because during pregnancy, the pelvis is more lax and more unstable, and that instability causes lots of issues and joint pain. We actually know that it's not necessarily a structural issue, it's more of a tissue sensitivity issue. And actually, the risk factors are really interesting in helping us understand why simply not moving our bodies might not be the answer. So some of the risk factors, so a reason why somebody might be more likely to have pelvic girdle pain, include things like parity. So the more children we have, the more times we are pregnant, the more likely it is that we could experience pelvic girdle pain. Whether we've had previous lower back pain, because that already encourages some sort of sensitivity of the tissue around that area. So if before you were pregnant, you already had some lower back pain, you might be more likely to experience something like pelvic girdle pain. Work dissatisfaction. And I'm going to say that one again, work dissatisfaction. That was shown as a risk factor for pelvic girdle pain. Now, that is not in any way linked to movement. Lack of belief in improvement. So those people who thought that their pelvic girdle pain would never go away had more pain or were more likely to experience pelvic girdle pain. So if you think of those risk factors, actually none of those that I've listed are you get pelvic girdle pain because you've been exercising or because you've been walking or because you did Pilates. So actually the solution to the root causes of those pelvic girdle pains are not necessarily to just sit still. Now, in a few episodes' time, we have a podcast all about pelvic girdle pain with the amazing Dr. Sinead Dufour, where she'll go into this in much more detail. But I guess what I wanted to stress is that if you're starting to experience pelvic girdle pain, or you think that you might be developing pelvic girdle pain, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to stop all physical activity. And actually, that could be one of the worst things that you could do. It's worth speaking to your doctor as soon as you find that pelvic girdle pain is impacting your life, and they will help you get a referral that will then help you get to the root cause and work out what the best method of treatment is for you. But it doesn't necessarily mean don't do anything. And what it might mean is that certain types of exercise might be triggering for you. It might be making your pain worse, in which case maybe think about trying something new, but it doesn't mean just stop physical activity altogether. And then I also wanted to talk about diastasis, because diastasis is something that happens to, studies think that diastasis happens to all of us during pregnancy by the time we give birth. Diastasis is something I'm asked about all the time, and I think that it also invokes a lot of fear of movement. Now, I talked about how in your second trimester you might be starting to show, you might be starting to develop a bump. Now, for some of us at the beginning of our second trimester, we might have nothing. I can pretty much guarantee by the end of second trimester, we're all going to be showing something. The size of your bump is going to be determined by lots of things. How early you show will be determined by lots of things, whether you've had babies before, in theory, the strength and tone of your abdominals. But in that second trimester, there's no denying that there is going to be some structural changes happening around your abdominal area. Now, diastasis is defined as a thinning and widening of your linea alba. Now, when we think about the front of our tummies, as our uterus grows, our tummy grows as well. Our baby cannot push our spines out the way and grow backwards. So the only space for our baby to grow, or our uterus to grow, is forwards. As this happens, the abdominals will have to stretch. And one of the main changes that can happen is a separation or a moving apart of your rectus abdominis muscles. Now, your rectus abdominis muscles are essentially your six-pack abs, so the sexy ones that we all tend to know about. And those two abdominal muscles run down the middle of your tummy, side by side, vertically, from your rib cage down towards your pubic bone. They are not connected directly to each other, so they are two separate muscles. Instead, they connect to a piece of connective tissue, the linea alba. So if we imagine we've got our two abdominal muscles, and then in between those, we have a connective piece of tissue called the linea alba. Now, as the bump gets bigger, what happens is those two abdominals move further away from each other. And so just like when you kind of stretch an elastic band or you blow up a balloon, that connective tissue between those two abdominals is also going to thin and stretch, okay? As it does that, it means that when we have pressure within our core, we all have pressure in our core, when that pressure is increased, we might notice that that pressure pushes through that thinned piece of tissue. And we call this coning or doming, okay? So diastasis is thought to be a completely normal, functional part of pregnancy. It's so that we have space to grow our babies and they don't have to try and move our spines out of the way. But it can mean that when we're doing certain exercises, let's say, for example, a plank, we might start to notice that we feel or see some pressure pushing through, that linea alba. So we might notice the tummy goes very pointy, or we see kind of like this triangle shape down the middle of our tummies, which we call coning or doming. Now, I've done a whole podcast in one of our previous episodes with the amazing Anthony Lowe, where we talk all about diastasis during pregnancy. And I guess the main theme that I want to bring in here is that it's not something to be feared. It is going to happen during pregnancy. And for 2/3 of us postnatally, that separation tends to kind of rectify itself postnatally. And in those that it doesn't, there's lots of remedial rehab work that we can do. But during that second trimester, whilst those abdominals are trying to move apart, whilst that linea alba is thinning, we just want to be mindful of potentially not putting loads and loads and loads of pressure through that midline whilst it's remodeling or whilst it's stretching and thinning. So if you're doing an exercise, particularly a core exercise, like a full plank, for example, if you look down at your tummy and it's looking very, very pointy, and it feels quite uncomfortable, and if you poke it, it feels very hard in that midline, What we're doing is putting lots of pressure through that thinned tissue, and it might be worth regressing the exercise slightly. So it might be worth dropping down into a half plank instead, or not staying up for as long. And so in our second trimester, we just need to start thinking about how we train the core and whether certain exercises are still going to work for us. So you know that earlier on when I mentioned what we can't do, I didn't ever mention specific exercises. And that's because you might get somebody who can do a full plank all the way up until they give birth, and it doesn't put lots of excessive pressure through their midline. But you might have another person who at 20 weeks finds that a full plank is just too much, and actually it's very uncomfortable. And so we just need to take a really individual approach. And it's not that there's a bad exercise, it's more just that there's an exercise that isn't right for us right now. So there will be exercises that I can't do right now because they're just too much pressure through my midline, or they just feel a bit uncomfortable. So when it comes to diastasis, if you are worried about it, you don't need to be worried about it. If you are still worried about it after I've said that, definitely listen to the episode with Anthony Lowe, where we break down actually what is happening and some advice around, you know, training with a diastasis. And know that postnatally, for a lot of us, it will rectify itself. But I would just have a think about, during certain exercises, how are you managing the pressure that that exercise is creating? Is it causing lots of hard doming? And if so, can we maybe make it a bit easier for now, or adapt the exercise whilst we're pregnant? So that's diastasis, or at least a very brief version of diastasis. You might have heard it called diastasis, diastasis recti, diastasis rectus abdominis, lots of different names. It's all the same thing. So the last thing I wanted to talk about then is, what should we really focus on then? So I have touched on the fact that we want to think about the pelvic floor, you know, that we might be getting pelvic girdle pain, and if we are, it does not mean that you need to stop doing what you're doing. We've talked about the fact that some people might be starting to notice their diastasis taking place, and that that's cool, that's okay, and that we might want to just think about adapting certain exercises. But what should we really focus on then? So in some ways it's similar to the first trimester, in so much that we want to make sure that our bodies are functionally fit and able to manage the demands of pregnancy, because we're only going to get bigger. Our bumps and uterus are only going to get heavier. So we want to make sure that we're able to cope with that. So we want to make sure that we're managing the demands of that, but also we can start thinking in our third trimester maybe a little bit more about preparing our bodies for labour and the postnatal period. So in that second trimester, hopefully we've got our energy back, so maybe we feel like we can get a bit more cardio in, and maybe we feel like we can push ourselves a little bit harder where we couldn't in our first trimester because we just felt so rotten. But also we still want to be thinking about building a body that's strong enough for pregnancy. So the first thing I would focus on is posture work. Now, obviously, as a Pilates teacher, that's a huge part of my life and of my teaching. But posture work is really thinking about, where's the demand right now? Our bumps are at the front of the body, okay? They're at the front of the pelvis. Our uterus is growing upwards towards our chest right now. So the further through the second trimester we get, our uterus gets higher and higher up towards our diaphragm. So we're going to have the most demand, the most increased kind of weight or effort in the front of the body, particularly at the front and top of the pelvis. So we need to make sure that the muscles that support that extra weight are doing their job, okay, and they're showing up. So really what I'm talking about are the muscles in the back of the body. The muscles in the back of your body are going to help support you as the front of your body grows. They're stopping you from being pulled forwards by your bump and falling flat on your face. So if we think about those muscles, we call them the postural chain. They're literally the muscles that run up the back of your body. So we're thinking about the calves, the hamstrings, the glutes, the spine extensors, and the back of the neck. So if we think about, if we're looking at somebody from behind, all of those muscles that run up the back of the body need to be doing their job for us to not be pulled forwards by that bump all the time. So personally, and in the bump plan as well, so our prenatal fitness plan, the focus in that second trimester is making sure that our calves, hamstrings, glutes, and our spine muscles, the muscles that run up the sides of the spine and up your back, are doing their job, okay? Something like Pilates is undoubtedly going to help with that, but any muscle strengthening activities that target those muscles is gonna be really beneficial. So even if that is something like weight training, even if that is carrying your toddler, you'd be carrying them on your front to be able to activate the muscles in your back, then that is really important. So just making sure that you're including muscular strengthening exercises that target the postural chain as well as the rest of your body. Pelvic floor. So I've already talked about this. It's really important that as the pelvic floor is put under more strain, we are making sure that we are staying on top of strengthening it. One of the things that I find women are not doing enough when they're doing the pelvic floor exercises is they're not working them hard enough. When you do a bicep curl, you don't do it with a feather, right? You do it with enough resistance that your bicep is tired by the end of it. It's the same with your pelvic floor. So make sure that when you're doing your pelvic floor exercises, it's hard. Even if by the end you think, oh my gosh, my pelvic floor is rubbish, it's not. It's hopefully that you've just pushed yourself so hard that your pelvic floor is tired, and that's how we create change. Your transverse abdominis muscle. Now your transverse muscle is the muscle that runs horizontally around your trunk. So I almost want you to picture somebody wearing a corset. That's the type of shape and position our transverse muscle is. Now, because the muscle fibers run horizontally, when they contract, they have an effect of cinching in the waist. And this is not about looking smaller, okay? Just want to stress that. But when we activate that transverse muscle, it helps create some pressure that creates stability in the core. Now, I've mentioned that our weight is at the front. Our bump can start to pull us forwards and pull the pelvis into a bit of an anterior tilt. So it pulls the pelvis forwards. Now, if we can make sure that our transverse muscle is functioning and strong and it knows what it's doing, it almost gives our bump a bit of support, just like a corset or a girdle would. So it means we don't have to have it active all the time and bracing and straining all the time. But because that muscle is doing its job, it's naturally helping to support that the weight of that growing bump so that your back doesn't have to take over or so that your posture is not drastically changed. Transverse muscle is probably one of my favorites. It's my Beyonce of all muscles. As much as we shouldn't put muscles on a pedestal during pregnancy, it's a really great muscle, okay? So any exercise or strength exercise that is going to target that transverse muscle is really important. Your transverse and your pelvic floor are your main stabilizers for your lower back and your pelvis, so very important during pregnancy. Breath work. So people tend to switch off a bit, I think, sometimes when I mention breath work. As your uterus gets bigger, it moves further and further up your abdominal cavity and it moves closer to your diaphragm, your main primary breathing muscle. Your diaphragm is responsible for your inhale. When we're pregnant, we can all feel that we're breathing more quickly. It's because we've also got more blood that we're trying to pump around the body that needs to be oxygenated. So we're always going to breathe a bit faster. But also it's quite difficult to take a nice big deep breath in because of that change in the pressure in your core caused by the fact your uterus is getting bigger and bigger. So essentially what I'm saying is in your second trimester, you might start to notice it's difficult to breathe deeply, to use that diaphragm fully to inhale. Even more reason why we should spend some time doing breath work. When we're thinking about doing breath work, it's almost like we're giving we're giving our diaphragm a workout, okay? So when we do breath work, we are giving our diaphragm a job to do. It's like giving it a dumbbell and it makes it strong, it keeps it strong. So we don't start using other muscles to breathe that can cause lots of tension in the neck. It also calms us down, which, let's be honest, during pregnancy, some of us are going to need, especially if we already have children at home. I've got a toddler. I definitely need to do as much breath work as possible. So breath work, really important. Almost there. Mobility work. So because of all the changes happening in the body and the increased demand on the front of the body, or the increased weight at the front of the body that puts more demand on the back of the body, and the fact that the abdominals are naturally going to be softening and relaxing and not necessarily doing the same level of work that they did before we got pregnant, we might start to notice other muscles taking over. So lots of women find that their lower back starts to ache during pregnancy because their lower back is doing more of the work for the core rather than their abdominals doing their share. So what we might find is we start to get some tension in other muscles in the body just because they're doing more work. Something like mobility work, where we're trying to move our bodies, maintain a range of movement in our joints, gentle stretching can really help to relax those muscles and just give them chance to calm down. It's different to kind of heavy static stretching. We're already more flexible during pregnancy because of our hormones, which is fantastic, but that can put us at a greater risk of overstretching if we do long static stretches where we're forcing the stretch and we can't breathe and we're grimacing. So gentle mobility work, okay, dynamic stretches, gentle stretching can be really helpful for calming certain muscles down without risking lots and lots of overstretching injuries. And finally, don't forget the really simple things like walking, like swimming, like just moving around more, not sitting down as often, trying to be less sedentary. These sorts of things are going to be working your cardiovascular system, but also strengthening your muscles as well. So don't always feel like it has to be the big sexy exercises. Whilst they're great, also just moving your body is really, really important in that second trimester. Especially make the most of whilst you have got a bump, but it's not at a point where you feel very limited, very uncomfortable, and walking around and standing up is very tiring. So that concludes the things that I wanted to talk to you about. This has ended up being much longer than I had planned it to be, but hopefully you've got lots of ideas now that you can take away with you. And also, hopefully it's kind of made you realize that it's not rocket science. Staying active during pregnancy is really just about moving more. And during that second trimester, there's just a few things that we can think about in the background so that we're making the most of the time that we're training and we are making sure our body is strong enough for the demands of pregnancy. But it can be fun. It can be movement that you love. It doesn't have to be horrific. And it can be really, really simple. So I hope that helps. If you have any questions, please, please do get in touch. If you have feedback, we always love that. And I really hope it's inspired you to move your bodies a little bit more when we know that there are so many health benefits, physical and mental, to staying active during pregnancy. So I hope you found that helpful and I'll see you again soon. Bye.
Firstly, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of Bun in the Oven, and I hope you found it helpful. For more support, do head to the show notes below to find links and supplementary reading you feel may be helpful to you. Secondly, this podcast can only help those who know about it. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much if you could subscribe to Bun in the Oven and give us a 5-star rating. While podcasts are easy to listen to, they take a lot of effort to create, and your support in sharing Bun in the Oven will help me encourage more guests to join me for future episodes. Thank you so much for listening today, and enjoy the rest of your day.